It was occurring to me as I was thinking about and preparing for this week's talk, an historical factoid, and that, you know, New Thought, such as it is, really is only six generations old. That generations are, for demographic purposes, are every 20 years. And I'm a sixth-generation New Thought preacher. And it's sort of fun to think about things in that way. And it was occurring to me because I was thinking about how this movement started and who some of the early people were, the first and second generation people. I think the Fillmores being first generation people. And then they had successors and there were others. But there was a rising up in the 30s, 40s, 50s, maybe through the early 60s, of some extraordinary teachers who were like the third generation. Extraordinary people. And one of them that I want to make sure you know about, which is the point of this week's lesson, really, is a writer named Neville. Does anybody know that name? Claire knows everybody. And Daphne as well. Yeah. Did you go out on a date with Neville, or was that good company? Neville is a writer. And it used to be sort of a secret what his last name was. Now it's published on the back of these new editions that are coming out. His name was Neville Goddard. Born in 1905, he died a young man in 1972. He was only 60-something. But this is really worth reading. It says he was among the last century's most articulate and charismatic purveyors of the philosophy generally now called New Thought. He wrote 10 books under the solitary pen name Neville. He was always mysteriously known as Neville, kind of like Liberace or Hildegard or other mysterious one-name performers. Cher. Who remembers Hildegard here? Anybody? No? All right, you go. But Neville was a popular speaker on metaphysical themes from the late 1930s until his death in 1972. He possessed a self-educated and uncommonly sharp intellect. Neville captured the sheer logic of creative mind principles. I'd love to say that again. He captured the sheer logic of creative mind principles as perhaps no other figure of that era. He spoke mostly in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco throughout his career. He was of an Anglo family that was born in Barbados. He moved in his late teens to New York to pursue the show business, which he never did. Almost immediately after arriving in New York, I think he was 17, he went to a metaphysical lecture, and a mysterious person, this is on the website, I wasn't there, but a mysterious person who called himself Abdullah came up to him and said, "You are late. I am waiting for you, and I am your teacher, and you are my student." And he studied with him for 7 years, and then he lectured about healing and what his particular take on what the most effective way to promote mind healing was. There's a book which I had not read until recently. I'd read several of his other books, Awakened Imagination, The Power of Awareness, Your Faith is Your Fortune, The Art of Believing, Freedom for All, Feeling is the Secret. That's the one that really got my attention. But interestingly enough, this particular book, Resurrection, was the one that got Rabbi Ted's attention, and that's what changed his entire ministry. From being a more mainline rabbi into being a self-professed New Thought rabbi. He told me that he found this book when he first moved to Los Angeles in a dentist's office. And he knew exactly the page because he was here on Wednesday. And he opened it up and he said, "This is the thing that got my attention and changed my life." And I won't tell you what that was because it'll be meaningless for you. And I wouldn't want you to get hung up on it. But this is fairly... it sounds kind of old-fashioned. The language is very Christocentric. The language is very biblical-sounding. And in many of the passages here in these essays, there are 25 essays in this particular book. Neville was not confused, though, knowing that references to the Christ were metaphors and to be metaphysically interpreted, that the Christ of you is your consciousness, and that therein lie the answer to every question. Oddly enough, if you read this book, Resurrection, there is nothing about the resurrection of Jesus in it, because that's not what it's about. One would assume that it is. I did look up in the dictionary, though, what the definition of resurrection is, and it has the same Latin root as the word resurge or resurgence, and resurrection, the actual definition of the word as a noun, is to bring back into play, or to bring back to life, or to bring back the dynamic principle of whatever. But it is about bringing back. Now, you know, one of my favorite poetic scriptures is, "Bring back to my remembrance the glory I had with thee before the world began." And it's that sentiment, that feeling, which I believe through this entire book, Neville is inviting us to bring back to your conscious awareness. That, as it would say in other places in the Bible, ye are very God. Or more familiarly, the kingdom of God is within. And now that you know that, what do you want to do with that? I know that this is Palm Sunday, and the only thought that I really have about that is that you know that this man not die in vain. Please make an effort to follow the teaching that the kingdom of God is within you. Please make an effort to honor the teaching and the life by acting on that wisdom teaching. Because our experience is that the kingdom of God is within and that you will experience the kingdom to the degree that you become conscious of it, to the degree that you choose to resurrect that truth as an active dynamic in your own life, it will be the satisfaction of all that you are seeking. And if you choose not to, it will remain a potential. And that's better than being without. But as we say in the South, that don't feed the bulldog. It won't do you any good. Knowing that the kingdom is within, or knowing that you have this potential within, if you don't reawaken and reawaken ourselves to that truth and make a claim on that with our consciousness, it's as good as having a book on your shelf that you've never read. It takes up space, but it doesn't do anything for you. It can only do something for you when you choose to call it back into service. And that's the point. That's the point of everything that we teach, and that's the point, as many people would say, of our entire life experience, that we will remember in the face of every challenge, remember on a daily basis, if you can, I know how hard it is. Remember on an hour-to-hour basis that whatever is going on in your life, there is a solution for, and it begins in consciousness. And it begins with the conscious awareness that there is a power for good in the universe and you can use it. Do you want to? And how? And how would you use it? Neville's one great teaching, the one thing that he is known for, is about the power of the imagination, how that is key. Here's a great two sentences. Imagination is the beginning of creation. And you know, creation is the same as healing as well. Imagination is the beginning of creation. You imagine what you desire and then you believe it to be true. Every dream could be realized by those self-disciplined enough to believe it. And, as he also continues to write, the art of life is sustaining the feeling of the wish fulfilled. That is where the art and the practice come into play. Our elementary but pithy teaching, a thought plus a feeling equals a thing. A healing thought and a healing feeling equals a healing in my life, of body, of relationship, of finances. And until that is made manifest in your everyday world of experience, the art and the practice lie in sustaining the feeling of the wish fulfilled and not dropping the ball. Of living as if this is a current reality in your life. This is not an abstract process. It is something that has very practical application in every level of your life, in your home, in your physical well-being, in your relationships, and in your finances. Your world is an opportunity to practice that on a daily basis. And I practice it here. Not everything all at the same time. You know the great quote from Einstein when they literally said, what's the purpose of time? And he says, so everything doesn't happen all at once. Simplicity is evidence of the most advanced teaching. But you know, in this particular work that I get to do here, I always am working on something regarding the ministry. And sometimes it's easier to do that than work on my own life. But it's a practice nevertheless. And one of the things that we keep practicing here is that making sure that I try and be mindful that every 6 weeks something will be a little different. And sometimes they're great big things and sometimes they're very, very minimal and nobody knows about it but me. But never letting time go by where I have the feeling I'm too tired and I give up. Or can't somebody just do this for me? To always be challenging myself to keep things moving forward, because my vision is that this is a successful ministry and it looks like one. And to never use any excuse for me to stop taking action or stop imagining or stop feeling like this is a successful ministry. Oh, yeah, well, we don't have $10 million in the bank. That's got nothing to do with that. But, you know, step by step, we change. God knows we've made a million changes in the last 4 years. We really have. And it's all to practice the art of keeping the feeling of motion, growth, success alive. And I don't mind saying I think the place looks great. I hope you've been out, come in and out of this door here. I hope you do. Some of you are hopelessly addicted to coming in the back door. Come in the front door, please. And notice that, you know, we've had vision and action. You remember we moved the wings from down there to down there because they're easier to see. And putting in the fountain was a great big deal, but we didn't address the two ends of the fountains. And so now they have been re-landscaped and the Peace Pole area is landscaped. And then sometimes we don't have money to spend. And so we make a little change in the website or we make a change here. But it's all conscious spiritual practice to keep things going or keep the dream alive, if you will. And this is how this is an art and a craft of living, of sustaining the feeling of the wish fulfilled. If we, you, me, us, are not always working on something, you need to be. Always be working on something. Hello, cell phone. I just got my cell phone 3 weeks ago, my very first cell phone in my whole life, so I know about turning it off. I have new sympathy. Life is an extraordinary process. And it is hard, and it's miraculous and joyful. It is much easier, and therefore I always invite people, don't pick on the hardest thing that you can possibly imagine healing in your life when you're getting going. Pick something easy. Pick something achievable so you know what it feels like to succeed. Pick something, well, the only thing you can do is heal your own life. You can't change anybody else. But pick something that really, really is achievable. Get the right thought. Resurrect the feelings of what it would feel like when, not if, this was a reality in my life. And stay with that until it demonstrates. Stay with it until it manifests. You're working out at the metaphysical gym, the spiritual gym, when you do that. The more you do it, the stronger you get, the easier it becomes. You become skillful, and then when you're faced with the really tough life challenges, you've got experience, you've got poise, you've got tools of consciousness that you can rely on because you know they will not fail you. They do not fail. We forget. But the truth does not fail any of us. It is challenging, for sure, because, I mean, I've had times in my life when nothing was working. Let's call that the 1980s. All right, 82 to 95. Let's call it that, for the sake of the story. And I was in this teaching. But I just wasn't asking that much of myself. I wasn't making that claim on consciousness, and I wasn't stepping up to the plate and practicing this art of sustaining a feeling of me being caused to something and feeling fully, deeply satisfied in it. At times when everything is up in your face, it's hard. How do I start? When I feel like I have so much need in every area of my life, how do I start? You have to start somewhere, right? Like Dorothy knows, where do you start, Good Witch of the North? You start where you are. Your life will become larger and more comprehensive, but start with the thing that's right in front of you. For those of us that are needing jobs, and there are, you know, we know there are 12% of people in this state are needing work right now. All right, that's clear what you want to do. And if the thought is, I need a job, there's a better thought to have, that's why coming to class is such a good thing, then I need a job, because you will always need a job if you keep affirming that. So if you even begin with saying, I'm ready for great work now, that's a good thought. And then to stay with that until you cultivate that feeling, is it true? Am I really ready to go back to work? Well, my unemployment doesn't run out for another 12 weeks, so I don't want to, you know, I'll stay on vacation for 12 weeks. You're not going to get a job. I played that game. If you're ready for work now, what does that feel like? Like, ooh, I better get ready. I better start taking care of stuff. This could be my last free day. What do I want to do today if I'm going back to work in 2 days? It's not a game. It's a way of living, of making the feeling real. And when you become real like that, that's when you become attractive, metaphysically and actually as well. Because people that get stuff done are the most attractive people, aren't they? The mopey ones with the, I don't know what to do, or I'm too tired, or I can't be bothered. You know, who wants to have lunch with that? Nobody. I got stuff to do. Are the people that you want to play with at every single age? Yes? At every age, these are the ones that you want to play with. If your need is great like that and it's really, really clear to you, okay, you know, that's where you really want to start. Get that resurrection power going for you. But if you feel that, you know, my life is pretty good. I'm not in a hurry. I got most of my stuff taken care of. You know, I'm okay. My kids aren't hating me right now, and I got enough money. Things are all right. There's still something to be working on. There's still something important to be working on. And you're the only one that's going to know what that is. But I would like to give you a tool to use to get you practicing. And this is a great week to get into practice, yes? Well, every day is a good day to get into practice. I was reading some advice from a financial planner. And the first two of the three questions in estate planning were kind of common about, you know, if you didn't have to work, what would you do? Well, nobody can really, I don't think anybody can really wrap their head around that unless you're not working. And then if you knew what to do, you wouldn't be going to a financial planner looking for advice. You'd be busy. Bill Gates is busy. And he's got plenty of money. But he's busy. He knows what he wants to do. The better question, I believe, is that if you were going to leave tonight, and call it if you were going to leave this plane of action, if you were going to graduate from college tomorrow, if you were going to move away from Seattle in a week tomorrow, if you were going to leave tonight, what would you regret? Give yourself 10 minutes. You'll come up with something, and your body will tell you what that is. Because it'll go, oh, yeah, I got to clean that up. I know what I need to do. And I don't want anybody to have any regrets about anything ever. But if you frame it that way, what is it that I would regret? You know, if I were going to leave Seattle tomorrow, I would say, I've been wanting to get on one of those Kenmore Air airplanes, those little pontoon boats, and go someplace. And I'm thinking, for $79, I can satisfy a lifelong dream. What am I waiting for? What am I waiting for? Right, do it. Duh. Yeah, if you can make your dream come true for $79, for the love of God, do it. Right? That's sort of facetious, but not really. If you'd have a regret, okay. Get the thought about how you want to handle it. Cultivate the feeling of having done it so it gives you the mojo and the courage and the energy to start walking in that direction. If it's a bill you need to pay, if it's a conversation or a misunderstanding you have to clean up, or something as simple as getting or going to the top of the Space Needle, if it's that simple, but do it and be busy doing it. Be busy doing it. Power will then build. You will attract to yourself, Thoreau wrote about this in elegant ways, if you advance confidently in the direction of your dreams, you will meet with a success undreamt of in common hours. That mysterious things do come to our assistance. If you get the thought, resurrect the feeling and the truth of the experience we're having, that the divine abides within every person. That is the stuff that will come to you. There's a dynamic that will happen and open up for you. But simple steps with great clarity, you will feel real deep fulfillment, which only comes from within, not from without. Very simple. And it takes a lifetime of practice. I feel grateful to be in the flow of this information, and that for however much time I have, I get to practice. But we can only practice if we wake up and get going again and resurrect, re-enliven the truth that maybe we become deaf to. Or get on automatic pilot about. I want to conclude with prayer right now. So I do invite you to close your eyes if you would do that. And know that God is a very present help for every need. And the truth is that for every need that we have and for every question that we have, consciousness is the answer. And so I dedicate this day, these energies around this day, and this collective energy that we all have to resurrecting this truth, to putting it back right in front, on the front burner of our lives, knowing that no matter what is going on, a new thought about it, a revitalized feeling about it, will lead to assistance and energy in the direction of healing that, or creating the new opportunity that we are seeking. This truth has never changed. And it will not disappoint. When we are clear and when we do our part. Our part is to know this truth. To know it in thought and feeling. And to let it out picture in our lives. As enthusiasm. As energy. And as courage. Every person here is capable of this. There is no healing that cannot be achieved through this awareness. Whatever it is that comes to your mind as a need, the solution is right behind. The solution is the other side of that need. Give voice to it. Make a claim on consciousness. Proceed confidently, and all shall be well. I claim this as a collective and individual truth in the experience of everybody that's here today. And I expect to see remarkable demonstrations of truth. And so it is. Amen.